Welcome to Under the Hive of Madness. I am Ryan the Goblin King, and today I am joined by Marky.
What's going on, everybody?
The Noble Beast.
Hello, everyone.
And Kevin, who just tunneled his way up from the Underhive.
Howdy, y'all.
So this is going to be our first kind of side episode, our first lore episode, working title, where we feature some of our lore and...
Captain Supplemental.
Yeah, there are
Captain's Log Supplemental.
So today we're going to dive into Beast's Nighthouse lore. So you want to take it away?
Yeah, absolutely. So I created, not too long ago, I decided to get into Imperial Knights, and we talked about them briefly here and there. But yeah, I decided to get into Imperial Knights, and I started to build an army, and in doing so, I really wanted to do something different. I thought about going with a theme from one of the, you know, already pre-made households, like House Terran, House Hawkshroud. You know, and the thing about knights is that there's a couple ways you can make them. You can make them under the allegiance of Questor Mechanicus, or you can Questor Imperium, or Questoris Imperialis. Thank you. Yes. And in doing so, you gain certain perks and things like that. So I decided to steer away from the Mechanican. I didn't want to be Mechanicus related because, their lore doesn't quite vibe with me. They are princeps and they're like about the Omnissiah and very kind of religious. Whereas the Imperium ones are very much more like they operate like barons. You have a high king and then you have barons and you have an exalted court, which are your leaders, so to speak, in the household. They're basically the Knights of the Round Table, if you could imagine, right? So I wanted to do something a little different in making mine, and the guys here have been with me for a good chunk of what I've created.
Dabbling.
When I first pitched the idea, I got some mixed responses.
Oh man, I hated it.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I don't know, dude.
I hated it for like 10 seconds, and then he got to the next sentence of the description. I was like, all right, I can respect that.
Yeah, I was like, I feel.
Yeah, so what I decided to do was I based my knight characters off of Disney characters. I chose to do Disney princes.
And after I got stomped, I was like, okay, fine, it's cool.
So I decided to do Disney princes. I think it's something that's never been done before in 40K, at least that I've ever heard. And of course, when you first say that, like, oh yeah, my guy's characters are Disney characters, it sounds really dumb, but hear me out. So in the in the universe of 40K, there is a system called the Avalon system, and in that system is a planetary body. There are numerous planets, and the household of the governing knight household is the Disentine household, which is basically a fancy way of saying Disney.
Boy, you about to get copyrighted by Disney.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, in the wrong lore.
Literally every character that he's pulled into this army is a character that Disney just stole from a different story. So
basically.
Yeah, but didn't they like copyright it?
You know what would be interesting though is GW copyright lawyers fighting against Disney copyright lawyers.
Oh, man, that would be... That's an epic battle, dude.
By the way, this is a fan podcast.
Yeah. A battle for the ages.
That would be like the battle under the Imperial Palace level.
So the governing household is the Disentine household. The High King is actually Arthur, and he is based off of Sword in the Stone, young Arthur. He's older now, obviously.
Like seven?
Yeah, exactly. So the Exalted Court, are Prince Eric, who is famous from Little Mermaid, Prince Adam, who is Beast from Beauty and the Beast. Then we have Prince Ali, who is Aladdin. And we have Prince Philip, who is Sleeping Beauty.
And before you dip out on this, hear him out. Hear him out on all these nights.
Don't just cancel.
Yeah, don't be like, man, this is corny AF, man. Yeah. Like, no. Hear this out because it's pretty badass.
Can we take a second though to establish, like, or not establish, to admit how fucking horny the sexy squirrel made everybody in the.
Hold on. You're talking about Sword and Stone?
Yeah, the Sword and Stone.
Yeah,
dude, when they were squirrels, I was like,
I don't know. The fat one, though, I wouldn't know.
That's what we're talking about.
When you said sexy squirrel, my brain jumped to Lola Bunny.
Another animated feature that just put a little bit too much into the sexy character.
I said Disney, not Space Jam. All right.
Yeah, but I mean, let's be real.
My brain went there too. Yeah. I was like, oh, Lola? Oh, yeah. Jaffiel?
Yeah. No, go rewatch.
That's where my brain went anyways.
I mean, as an adult man, I would be like, that's weird. But as a putting myself back into like a child's shoes, I think that's one of the first times where I was like, oh.
Yeah, and then
where you were like, I might be a furry.
Just a squirrel trying to get a nut.
That money nut.
The money nut.
what's the one from Who Framed Roger Rabbit? What's her
Jessica
name?
Rabbit.
Jessica Rabbit. Rabbit. Jessica Rabbit.
Ooh. Hot damn, boy.
Jessica Rabbit wasn't, she was an animated human. Was she?
She could have been a horse for all I care.
Doesn't matter. Still hot.
Yeah, still hot.
Dude, people are listening like, damn, these guys are weird, bro. So,
No. If you play Warhammer 40K, you think these
are relatable.
Everybody from our collective generations has thought that those two.
Yeah, don't be ashamed, guys.
Is Horus still Warmaster?
I mean, we're acknowledging that they're cartoon characters and shouldn't be hot, but that they're also super sexualized.
Oh no, like everybody, every single Disney animator was horny as fuck.
The fact
that some of their art made people go, wait, what? It's not surprising.
Eric's butler had a boner, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In the middle of the ceremony.
Yeah. He's full mass, dude.
Yeah.
Dude, Jasmine's hot as hell.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Oh,
I'd be right there with him, right?
Oh, dude, Jasmine,
To drive back and
he's holding the ring for him.
come back to the train of thought here. You know, Arthurian legend is where the Sword of the Stone comes from. I'm very hard pressed to figure out where the Little Mermaid comes from, but Beauty and the Beast is an old German folklore,
French
folklore. And then, the 40 thieves, 1,000 nights. I can't remember the Arabian Nights.
Yeah.
The Arabian Nights and the 40 Thieves, the whole idea of like Aladdin comes from that. So like Disney took a lot of like old stories that we've been telling for a while and kind of repackaged them, which is really cool. And that's what makes this idea fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Cause then you're just stealing them and repackaging them again.
Yeah. So
grimdark.
So basically there's another knight too. I didn't get there, but there's I have another one who's actually Hercules. Who's based off of Hercules Disney, but still Greek mythology. You know, like I think that you know, when you think of, so hear me out, right? So the whole idea is, if you know your lore when it comes to Imperial Knights, and Ryan I think can help me along with this, during the beginning steps of humanity, when humans set out to the stars to you know,
golden age of expansion,
yeah. Knight suits were machines to help them survive. And eventually through this, they became what we call feudal worlds, where they were run by governing kings and very much like you would think of like old time England.
Yeah. Most knights come from these kind of feudal knight worlds. Like a lot of things in Warhammer 40K, like you can pretty much do whatever you want with the lore, but as a general kind of starting position, and knight worlds are still feudal. Like, yes. I mean, we're talking like 10,000, 20,000, 30,000, 40,000 years later, you know, the level of technology is still essentially dark ages, except for the ruling body.
Yeah, exactly. Like they have electricity, they have things like that, but it's not like there's not cars, there's not things like that. Like people still farm,
people, you know, still plow the fields with horses.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, yeah. These worlds are still very much like almost paradise-like, you know, considering the fact that they've been like this forever, because they don't allow psykers. Like the psykers are witches. They burn them, you know, like, so
at the stake.
Exactly. So if you think of, you know, a lot of these characters, right, from Disney, they encounter mystical beings that are the villains, right? Most of these like villains that they end up fighting use some type of magic, right? Whether it be Maleficent, you know, whether it be Jafar, you know, like he became a genie, you know, I mean, they all fight these magic things.
Sounds like some chaos bullshit to
exact
me.
Bingo. So that was my connection. I was like, you know what? I could make this work where they're basically, they were fighting chaos demons, but didn't, you know, but they didn't know that they were called chaos demons. They just knew that it was this villain, you yeah. know? And so it kind of works if you tweak it a little bit into the 40K like lifestyle, you know? So basically these planets, they're all different planets. And each one of these guys, Hercules, Eric, Philip, Aladdin, they all are the rulers of their own planet. But Arthur, once he basically took over his planet, which is Avalon Prime, which if you look into, you know, King Arthur lore, Avalon was where the Knights of the Round Table were based. You know,
yeah. Right? And the thing that I liked is like when you were explaining it, like you're like, their planets are paradise. Like
exactly.
Unicorns and not unicorns, but like, you know what I
yeah,
mean?
Yeah, mystical like creatures.
Pixies.
Yeah, like they still have elves on them, which are like, they're just Exidai Eldar. They live on these worlds. There's still dwarves there. Like, you know, squats, they still exist there, you know, because they come from a time that this was normal. You know, like they're still feudal, as I've said, right? And so each one of these guys became the leaders of their own planets. And Arthur, once he became king, through, you know, basically like following his destiny to unite the world that he's on, you know, his sword in the stone story, he now reached out to the planets in his system of Avalon, you know, and he found all these other night houses and was like, hey, join me. Join my house. We will form together and we'll protect our worlds. And they were like, you know what, man? You're right. We will. So that's how they all became members of the Exalted Court. So basically you have Arthur as the High King. You have Prince Philip, or Baron Philip would be his proper title. He is the King's Sword, is his actual title in the Exalted Court. Then you have Ali, so Aladdin. Baron Aladdin, he would be the herald. You would have Baron Eric, he is the master of judgment. And then you would have Adam as the gatekeeper. Now, those are actually titles in the Exalted Court. And then after that, you would have barons. And so Hercules is a baron. He's the leader of his own planet. And then below them are their own knightly vassals. So the way that I...
You got Genie. Got Iago. No.
Yeah. So my plan is to eventually expand upon each knight and his house, you know, or and his vassals to incorporate that. So for Adam, he'll have Lumiere and he'll have Codsworth. And
You got Flounder. Like, Flounder, you fucking up, bro.
Yeah. No, like literally like
Armigers, right?
Yeah, well, not even Armigers, but other knights.
Hey, oh, really? Please tell me.
Sebastian.
Yeah, exactly. Like, but
please tell me that Aladdin is going to have an armiger of some kind that is Abu.
Oh yeah, you got to give him a little top hat.
My plan was that Aladdin would have Abu would actually be like another knight, but an armiger would be Carpathian.
Nice.
Would be his carpet.
Nice.
It's Carpathian. It's like, because I was like, what's like a gothic name, you know? And then Genet would be another knight, yeah. And it would be Genie, you know, like, so like, that's kind of like the fun I want to have.
My brain immediately went to like, does one of your knights run really fast? Genie. Yeah, right.
Genie.
Well, so
I love you, Genie.
So that's the thing, is like, they were agricultural worlds, you know, originally.
Yeah. So just a lore dump real quick. Most knight worlds were founded for either agricultural purposes or mining purposes. And they were given standard template constructs because the ships that they arrived on, they basically completely broke apart.
Disassembled and
for their starting material. Yep. But, you know, when they left the cradle of civilization, when they left ancient Terra, pre-Emperor Terra, they kind of knew, like, hey, you guys are probably going to encounter some rough crap.
Yeah.
So the standard template constructs had databases for fabricating these suits of exo armor and providing them with military weapons if needed.
Yep.
Or chainsaws if they needed to cut down trees. Well,
and so that's the thing, is that these guys, their worlds were actually fairly wild and had chaos demons in them, which were the villains at the time. So as they grew up, they always grew up with these villains until finally, you know, these princes beat them. And now that's why they're in power. So very much the story of Ursula, right, with Ariel and Eric, Ursula was a demon of Slaanesh.
Yeah, like a keeper of secrets. Yeah, keeper
like,
of secrets.
You know, there's very different ways of doing that.
I don't know if I want to touch that demon.
No,
not gonna lie.
No, but on Eric's
it's
world,
very keeper of secrecy though. Like oh, that's yeah, that's yeah, totally no, like I'm just like playing. Like, hey girl, I'm gonna make you hot, irresistible.
Hey Ursula, you can't make.
But
that. Oh, hey,
you no, gonna have to give me your voice.
Right. No, but like Ursula when she was like human form, yeah, that ain't bad.
Yeah, so that's that ain't bad. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like so, and also like Philip's world. Philip is actually one of the older worlds because he's a Cerastus pattern knight, fighting the dragon. You know, that was the Lord of Change, you know,
yeah. I mean,
and that's literally, mm-hmm. Maleficent, man. Like, and that was a character that they fought. They didn't know it was a chaos demon, but it was, you know?
Right.
So that's the thing, is they all have this. And now Beast, Adam is kind of special. Adam, his world, he was basically turned on by his people. His people turned on his family, because he was not ruling very well. They led in a very wealthy lifestyle and let their peasants be real, not taken care of. When a witch,
that's really bad in the Warhammer 40K universe. Like when the peasants are like, though. When the peasants are like, we're being treated worse than all other peasants.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that's the thing. And then this
corpse starch and shit.
This witch happened to show up and place a curse on him.
Right.
Right. You know, that it was a chaotic entity being fed by the peasants. And Beast, you know, Adam basically was scarred for life. He's not a monster, but he's been scarred horribly and he never leaves his night suit. His night suit is his tomb. And although Belle loves him and she is his princess and she lives with him, she understands, like she governs the body, and that's why now the peasants rejoice, is that Belle brought peace when, you know, she encountered him.
So does he not leave his suit because he's like he thinks he's ugly, or does he not leave his suit because he's like the machine spirit is bound to him too?
Nobody completely. Knows. That's the thing.
Oh, that's one of the oh my God. That's one of the things I love about night lore, is there's like a part of night lore where like sometimes the pilot's not strong enough and the AI just goes, nah, bitch, you mine.
His night suit is...
Look at all this brain power I'm going to loot.
The machine spirit for his night suit is horrifically, horrifically violent. Because it
I know, I've played against him.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right? We all know.
Hey, you know, for real though, Beast Knight on a tabletop, Beast Knight, best knight. Like he's gnarly.
I've tweaked the rules and given him the stats to give him what.
Well,
he
not tweaked
needs.
The rules, but like you basically upgraded him.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean that's what I'm saying. Like I've played with the rules. Like I know how to.
You min maxed the build to a very 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 good
successful
like, place. Yeah, I will tell you though, I'm pretty sure if I like fire prismed you, if I twin fire prismed you, you'd probably hate me. You'd be like, can you stop doing that to my knight?
Yeah, but then you got Adam, right?
Yeah.
You got Adam in your booty. Uh-huh. He, dude, that's a long shaft.
I'll just bring four prisoners.
Well, both these dudes have been beat up by him. So
yeah.
That's the thing.
See, you say I bring four tanks and I'm like, what, 12?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the thing, is Adam is bound in his night suit because of his belief in what had happened to him, because he feels shame for what his family did, and it's Belle who saved them, basically.
That's cool, man.
Yeah, and so like every character has these like in depth, like Hercules is one of my favorites because he's actually a knight Perferon.
Yeah, it's the big one.
He's they're very rare. He was a bastard child of the noble of this planet.
Fitting for Hercules.
Yeah, and he fought his way to the top to gain his honors again, and defeated Titans, giant monsters, which could have been Tyranids. Who knows? You know,
like right.
He fought against these giant monsters by earning his way into this Perferon suit, because no other pilot was strong enough to man it. every pilot that they had tried to put, every princep, the baron they had tried to put into this Perferon, the Perferon killed him. And Hercules was the only one who could withstand the strength of this Perferon's like sheen spear. And because basically the
like, Perferon, they use words, Tom. Yeah. I don't know what they are.
The Perferon's machine spirit is such a gigantic like Titan itself. He demands nothing less.
Right.
And Hercules, being the huge man that he is, earned that strength, took that, and then gained control and fame and fortune in on his planet, and he now runs the planet, you know?
I really like the idea that you mentioned, you know, he fought titanic creatures. Who knows? Maybe they were Tyranids. And that's one of the important things to think about as you're developing your own lore. One of those things is like, we know that, you know, the Tyranid splinter fleets have appeared in the galaxy as early as M35, if not earlier.
Yeah, and these are fringe planets, right?
Yeah, and these splinter fleets could be just like lost chunks of bioforms. That are lost. And like that's one of the things, like the Catachan Devil is theorized at this point to be just an offshoot of the Tyranids that's exactly. So separated. So it's very possible that you can, when you're developing your own lore, play with this stuff where you're like, oh yeah, no, there's totally these bioforms that the Tyranids don't know about. They haven't gotten to that planet to eat those bioforms yet. So they don't know they exist, which is, I like it. It's very cool. I very much like that.
Yeah.
Part. That's
I tried to tie in
neat.
A little bit of everything.
And the side little thing about the Tyranids that I was going to speak of, I don't know if it's the case for every single Hive fleet, but they're actually approaching from the other side of the galactic plane.
Oh, right.
Yeah. They're not coming in. Like when you're looking at the map, they're not coming in from the side. They're coming in from the way you're looking at it.
Yeah. We humans, humans, because we live,
they're coming from this way.
Yeah.
Ceiling down.
Right.
Which means that they can actually.
No one can see you, Kevin. Right. So what Kevin's
from the ceiling,
what Kevin's basically talking about is humans who are bound to a planet, we have a tendency to think
on a two-dimensional map
surface.
Scale.
So like when we think about things entering the galactic plane, we're like, okay, are they coming from the north, south, east, or west? What Kevin's kind of describing is that the Tyranid Hive fleets are coming in from above the elliptical.
They're coming in
from above down into the galaxy,
which means that they can theoretically be striking
everywhere,
both anywhere and simultaneously.
Yeah, it's
so that's one of the nice things about the Tyranids, that you can throw them in literally anywhere, and it would make sense that they're there to eat shit.
My figuring on Hercules and his planet was that it was a distant coastal type planet. It had a lot of ocean. It had a lot of shoreline. And a Tyranid like Biovore had like landed in the ocean, and millions of years like before humans ever colonized there, and life finds a way. You know? There were these Titans walking the planet, which were these, you know, horrible creatures that, you know, I mean, they took on aspects of the planet. The one that was in,
what if it was like a Kroot that ate a Tyranid? Now it's a big ass.
We don't eat Tyranids. We'll talk about it later.
Oh, really?
No, yeah. We don't eat Tyranids.
Oh, never mind then.
That's gross.
But you know, so like each one took
had
on
a chance to.
Each one took on an aspect from its own element. So like the ones that were in the snow became like a frost giant. You know, like things like that.
Yeah. It makes sense.
Yeah, and
it's
so
passable.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I really want to make a Tyranid army now that has fur. God damn you,
yeah,
Tom.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Like that could happen.
Furinids.
Furinids. This is my owlbear army.
But yeah. Actually, I would like that. Yeah. I think that would be cool.
Well, I think that's something that doesn't get brought up. Like that can happen.
Yeah. Nobody. You know? Nobody kit bashes a Tyranid army.
No. No, the most they ever do is they do like rock crabs and stuff. Like,
how would you guys feel if I just showed up with like literally a suitcase full of hermit crabs and put them on the table? I was like, this is my Tyranid army.
Turn one,
I'd be like, get this shit off my table.
Yeah, turn one, they're all over the place. And like, Kevin's like, I guess my movement phase is over.
Kevin, it's my turn. Stop moving.
Dude, I can't.
Ow, my finger.
They don't move very fast.
Yeah. I mean, it's,
they get you.
It's very cool because you took kind of this framework that is a very different, you know, almost polar opposite to Grimdark. And then you kind of started, you kind of started fitting it to Grimdark, which illustrates all of these very unique, very kind of cool things you could do. In fact, the very first time you outlined everything to me and you were like, no, Ryan, like, just sit down. My story gets better.
Mm-hmm. Tell you a story.
And it's getting, it'll get better.
And like, he's
all, this is
he's,
just the beginning.
He's yeah, not even,
part two yeah, that has been
there's a part two teased. And three. Yeah.
but my first reaction to hearing everything was like, oh man, like I have my night house Crastus that I'm working on, but I'm like, oh man, I want to abandon it. And I want to make, like, just as the foil to your army, I want to make the Lovecraftian gods, the old ones, into a Chaos Knight army. Mm-hmm. That was like my very first reaction was, I was like, oh, I didn't think I'd be this inspired.
Well, that's what, that's kind of like, I did it for two reasons. One, I did it for my girlfriend, because she loves Disney and I was going to be spending a lot of money. So I figured if I came up with this idea, she'd be about it.
You get know? Her on board. And it's
exactly. Get her on board.
Yeah. Lady authorized spending.
Exactly. Now, like, she doesn't like inhibit me, but I just figured this would just make everything easier.
He was almost like my wife.
The only one that's not married here, pretty much. But also, too, because I really wanted to emphasize how creative you could be. Like, I took it as a challenge because I was like, this is going to be hard. Like,
yeah, you took a very interesting, like, story seed and ran.
Yeah. Cause I mean, I figured anybody that was into 40K would, like, listen to this and be like, you're a dork. Like, and that's bad nerd. When somebody who plays 40K calls you a dork. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I just want to say that, like, the way that you're playing your knights, just, it doesn't fit with the lore.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So that's why I'm very emphasized on, like, no, listen, yeah. You know, because, so here's the thing. Right. Past the Age of Strife, right? When the Great Crusade had started and the Emperor had started to bring all the planets back into the fold, mm-hmm. they discovered the Avalon system. And the Emperor himself visited it and was like, went to Arthur, you know, who was the High King, and was like, I want you back in my Imperium. You know, you're human, like, be with us and stand with us. And at this point, all of the planets had slain the evil. They'd slain the villain, which were the Chaos entities, the Tyranid entities.
Whatever like enemies that. Of the Imperium
whatever enemies
were there.
Yeah. That they were fighting, right, on their planets. So they were very much at peace. I mean, like I said, they were agricultural paradises at this point. They lived in harmony with Exodite Eldar. They lived in harmony with, like, you know, existing squats that were there. There were various bug-like humans, you know, fairies. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's very much that, like when you think of Disney, you think of, like, oh, the little birds, they're flying around and singing. Like, that shit kind of happened, you know? And so when the Emperor came back, Arthur was like, well, you know, we've been fortunate enough that, you know, the Imperium had gifted us with everything that we have here, and Arthur is very much about humanity. And he had said, yeah, sign us up. We'll fight with you. And so the knights, all coming from various backgrounds, and just like you would, you know, Ali came from humble origins as a street rat, you know, on his desert planet, you know, they felt like they owed something, you know, to their planets. And they said, you know what, Emperor, like, we will embark on this crusade with you as long as you promise to maintain the safety of our system. Guard our princesses, who will now take over their, because the princesses were knights too. Like, the princesses had suits as well.
Right. The whole noble bloodline.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. You know, Jasmine, Belle. God, what the hell's her name? Aurora.
Sleeping one.
Yeah, Sleeping Beauty. Yeah, all of them.
Sleepy time. Sleepy time princess.
Megora, who is Hercules, yeah. You know, they now became the rulers of the planets in their stead. And unfortunately, the knights basically said that we will embark on this crusade, more than likely never to return. But know in our sacrifice, our planets and our loved ones will survive. So they embark on the crusade. And they're lost into the warp. And not just them, like their vassals, like that's the story. Like they went with Iago, they went with Abu, they went with Lumiere. All of them went with them.
Sebastian.
Yeah, like all of them went. They went, like, each. Basically, the way that I figured it was like each baron, so each of my named knight,
right,
has six knights under him.
Right, and then you you've got your, like, various, like, men at arms.
Yeah, and the men at arms,
knights in training,
the men at arms and the armigers, right? And for those of you who don't know, armigers are like a smaller class of knight.
Yeah,
are linked into a group. This was Arthur's idea to create a more blanket unit rather than having like a specific allegiance to Eric or a specific allegiance to Aladdin. They joined the Night's Watch, which their duty was to protect the knights of the household.
Is that how you do your men at arms too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, they so all fight for the Night's Watch.
Rather than like a traditional man-at-arms, which is sworn to a lord
who's correct.
Then sworn yeah. to a king.
Right, they swear to the order of the Night's
they
Watch.
They swear yeah. to the organization as a whole.
And just to kind of lay it out, like there, so there's knights, which are the big walking machines, and then there's armigers, which are slightly smaller, which are usually like, think of it like they're local area networked, wirelessly area networked, to their knights. So yeah. their knight lord pretty much kind of dictates what they do.
They're like squires.
Yeah. And then there's an entire, usually under that, there's a group called men at arms, which are basically like
an Imperial Guard regiment.
Yeah. It's an Imperial Guard regiment that's got some basic weapons. And in that group, you know, there's usually a group of those guys who are a little bit more elite, a little bit more veteran, who are the guys who are aspiring to be the knight pilot when there's an opportunity.
Yeah, and they usually will jump in towards the armigers.
Yeah.
And so instead of making it kind of like that, I just decided, you know what? Because I wanted a uniform paint scheme because I wanted the barons to be very, and they're like
personalized.
Yeah. And their knights that fight with them to be personalized. I wanted everybody to be an individual character rather than all spanning the same colors.
Right.
That's why I developed the Night's Watch. Watch is the organization that the men at arms and the vassals, like the squires, they join.
Right.
And they swear their allegiance to the Night's Watch. And if they do due diligence, they can work their way up.
That's that's super cool, man.
Yeah. And that's the thing, too, is the Night's Watch takes anyone.
Yeah, you know, could be replenished on Crusade. And so theoretically, you'd never run out of pilots.
Correct. Well, so here's where the story gets interesting, right?
Okay. I was going to say, because your Night's Watch aren't, they're not Imperial Guard. They're dudes in power armor. So correct. How do we get, okay, yeah, yeah.
So,
I
want to hear this here's part. Where it gets interesting, right? So before leaving for their Crusade, like basically they've left for their crusade and they're in their ships, you know, their frigates and things like that, with their drop keeps. They come across a detachment, because mind you, this is before Death Watch.
Right.
They come across a detachment of Space Marines of Gray Shields, right? Which if you know 30K, Gray Shields are kind of like the Lost Sons. Like they don't have a,
there's essentially like there were loyalists in the traitor legions.
Legions, exactly.
And right. And a certain percentage of the loyalists in the traitor legions were gobbled up by Malkador and they were turned into what became the Grey Knights. But before they were the Grey Knights, they were the Grey Shields, and not all of them became Grey Knights. Right. Some of them just got folded into other legions or during the first founding became the heads of new chapters.
So exactly. So they come across in this fleet because they join with a larger fleet for the crusade, a inquisitor. And then this inquisitor happens to have all these Space Marines with him. Not a lot, you know, 300 or so. And the Inquisitor noticed something about this knight household that was different from other knight households that he'd seen before. And it was the fact that they were united yet different, you know, and they had, and he listened to their stories and realized like, oh man, you guys were fighting chaos before you knew it was chaos. Right. You know what I mean? You were fighting this before you knew it was this. So it's like, wow, like you've come from a hardened background. I want to make sure that you guys survive, you know, because they had sworn allegiance to the Imperium, not the Mechanicus. And so the Inquisitor was like, I'm assigning these knights to you. And I'm assigning these Space Marines to you. And the Space Marines decided to take on the Night's Watch as their chapter. So technically,
did this all like, cause I mean like, and obviously it's 40K and you're talking about like ancient history. Did this happen during the crusade?
During the Great Crusade.
And then, this would have happened during like, not the crusade.
Though. Well, it's like halfway through it. Like,
yeah. Like the cleanup phase after the heresy, essentially.
Yes, okay. Exactly.
So everything's a crusade. You get a crusade and you get a crusade and you get a crusade. But yeah, essentially, you're not talking about the great, that they were recruited during the Great Crusade. Then the heresy happened. Then there's the Crusades of Redemption, the right. Crusades of like the Crusades so the of
knights,
healing.
The knights have been on crusades since the Great Crusade.
And now we're into the post heresy Reformation period. Yes. Okay. Got you.
Yes. So because they've been fighting with the Imperium this whole time,
right,
you know, wherever they've needed help, they've gone. And, you know, the Inquisitor, like by their record, you know, was like, you know, these guys are kicking ass. Like, you know, and he had these guys. So
right.
Boom, here's your Space Marines.
Yeah, second founding happens, you know, here's your, yeah, that's cool, man.
Yeah. Like so the Space Marines are the Night's Watch. Now, keep in mind, there is only a few of them. And the interesting thing is that they still have humans as Night Watch also.
So, you know, you had mentioned that they had been lost in the warp or that they, I'm assuming.
Not
they
yet. Keep, not yet. That hasn't happened yet.
Okay. Yeah, because I was going to say, like, so now in 40K, like, have they lost enough Space Marines through crusading or through action?
So shortly after this happened.
Okay.
A warp storm split their fleet in half.
Okay.
And sucked up the entire Knight's fleet.
Okay.
The Knights now have literally been entombed in the warp all this time,
which to them could be like minutes.
Well, it's the way that I put it was that it's like, what did I say, Mark? It's like blinking, like they blink in and out of existence. Like,
oh, right. Like they almost showed up like Legion of the Damned.
Yeah.
So they're like, yeah. Yeah,
like,
yeah. So they, okay.
There's certain points where they come back and they're like, oh shit. And they're in, like in the middle of a fight, you know, right. Like they're in the middle
they
of like,
pop
huge,
out.
And yeah. They and they're like, oh it. Crap. Like, so they're fighting this whole time and they're blinking in and out of existence, out of the warp. And then finally, after this big rip in the Eye of Terror,
the warp, Citrus Maledictum.
Maledictum.
The warp has some, and keep in mind too, Arthur and the Knights have no idea what year it's been. Like, as far as they've been concerned,
they're just fighting. Yeah.
They're just fighting, right?
Yeah, for them, it could have been like 15 years.
Yeah, yeah. Right. And so
cue
now,
the Horus War Master soundbite,
right?
Is Horus still War Master?
And so now after this rip, right, the right. warp kind of stabilized
okay.
to let him out.
Okay.
So they've been puked out of the warp. They don't know where. Okay. Right. And they are in shambles. They are depleted. Their Imperial Guard regiments, their men at arms are gone. Most of their friends, like Lumiere's gone. Codsworth is gone. Like all of them are dead. And there is very few left. Like it is literally the barons and like a couple, like a few knights and a handful of Night's Watch.
So, I mean, like we're watching you model the knights now and they look fucking amazing. Like every single knight looks amazing.
Yeah. Every knight is unique. They've all got special kind of weapons that you've custom fabricated in some capacity on there. Gave some cool names. Mm-hmm.
And I know you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The talons as old as
the talons as old as time. Yeah. And then what was it? The trident of eternal tides.
So the Beast Knight has chain fists instead of a rapier chain sword and a thunderstrike gauntlet. So his chain swords are called the talons as old as time.
That's awesome, man.
Eric has the trident of a thousand tides, which is literally the King Trident. Like Triton's trident. Ryan printed up. It took him like 18 times to 3D print it.
Oh my God, that trident was such a pain in the ass.
Yeah, but it's so cool now.
Yeah, and he's also a Knight Paladin, so he has a cannon on one arm because Eric
got that rapid fire battle cannon from the ship.
Yeah, exactly.
It represents the broadside of the ship. Yep. Yeah, it's cool.
Absolutely hate that cannon.
Ali has a thermal cannon, and he's also got the Sword of Agrabah, which is a giant fuck off scimitar.
Yep.
Philip's story is actually interesting. He gave his sword and his initial knight suit to Aurora, which was the sword and it was a castigator knight.
Okay.
Is the double Gatling gun and the sword. And he gave that to Aurora and traded for a lancer because he needed the shield and sword and lance to fight Maleficent on their planet.
Oh,
and he's been a lancer ever since.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So she has his suit and he has her suit, but he hasn't seen her in 30,000 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Which probably means it's not her anymore.
Yeah. Well, I mean, basically they've traded like
traded weapons. Yeah.
Yeah. And
foreshadowing Arthur, the princesses may not be the princesses anymore.
Yeah, the lance, The lance on Philip is called Maleficent's Bane.
Nice.
Yes. Arthur's weapons. He's a Castellan knight. He has Excalibur, which is the volcano lance. And his plasma cannon is Merlin's Wrath.
Yeah. That's awesome, man.
So, yeah, I was like, I want to have some fun naming these dudes.
Oh, yeah.
But so here's they've been puked out of the warp. They're in shambles. And they find a nearby Death Watch station, which is like one of our first like kind of campaign stories.
Find a watch out.
Is the knights teaming up with Death Watch.
Very cool.
And being like, yo, like, where are we? You know, like, what year is it?
The year of our Lord Emperor.
Yeah. And basically the Death Watch are like, yo, here's the time. And the knights are like, holy shit. We've been gone like 20,000 years. You know what I mean? Like,
I got to find the Doc Brown of this timeline so I can.
Well, I mean, think about it. So like how long have they been gone?
30,000 years.
Yeah.
No, not 30,000 years. 10,000 years.
Yeah, 10,000 so they've been years, gone sorry. 10,000 years.
Yeah.
And once they realize this.
10,000 years will give you such a crick in the neck. Sorry.
Well, so now they've realized. The emperor is basically a corpse, you know, like they've heard what happened to the emperor and they're like, did he hold up his end of the bargain? Because they've seen what a mess the universe is in.
Right.
Oh, shit. What happened to home? It was supposed to be safe.
Yeah.
So now they're on their quest home and that's where our crusade game is going to take place.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
It's the knight's quest home and they're not going to like what they find.
Very cool. So again, to get back to your modeling side of it, I know that we've seen the knights and some cool stuff there, some cool customizations there. You grabbed some Primaris for your Night's Watch, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a huge, one of the things that I really love about the Primaris line from a kit bashing and from a modeling hobby standpoint is true scale Marines. All
so
the
that
way.
Is exactly what they are. They are not Primaris.
Yeah. You're running them as true scale Marines. Are you actually going to like try to find some Beaky Boys and some other armor bits so you can make them look like the Heresy era Mark III armor?
So my initial idea was actually to get Grey Knights.
Okay, cool. Yeah, and, so you get that actual like, old look, yeah.
Yeah, that was my initial, because Grey Shields.
Right.
But I had Death Watch from a kill team, so I slapped some paint on them for a game and was like, Night's Watch, you know. But eventually, what I do want...
get them Beaky Boys, man.
Yeah, like I want Grey Knights, specifically their model, their helm.
Grey Knight helmets are one of the coolest helmets.
Yeah, exactly. Helmets are pretty cool.
That's really what I wanted.
I do have a soft spot for Beaky Boys, though. I love beaked helmets.
Beaky Boys have a place, but if you're just talking, if you had to pick one helmet in the whole game that looked coolest, Grey Knight helmet.
I actually really like the Forge World. I think they're only in the Sons of Horus line. They're the helmets that look, they're even more Baroque and like knighty looking than the
Grey Knight. Oh, really? They're almost like Steel Legion.
Fucking amazing.
Iron Warrior. Yeah, Iron Warrior.
But like a set of that's like $200.
Oh, for sure.
No, I mean, dude, originally I wanted to go full feudal, you know, with like custom models and stuff. But I was like, you know what? Like, I want to work with what I got.
I like to bug my friends for 3D printing.
Yeah, exactly. But not that much. Like,
but I also like my friends.
Mark II pattern.
Yeah, that helmet, Mark II helmet.
Yeah,
well, that's legit. Just a knight helmet.
Yeah, so that's kind of like, and the other thing too, like I said, like normal humans are part of the Night's Watch too, and that's why they're Primaris Marines, but I'm using them as true scale, and now they're getting bolstered by Death Watch, and like they're gonna slowly build up as they go, and maybe
I got you, boo.
Yeah,
not only that, but like if those obviously those Grey Shields now the Night's Watch now that they've adopted that name,
there's like 13 left.
Yeah,
like that's it.
Oh yeah, that's super cool.
There's literally that's a like, captain, and that's it.
Like, that's like that's like my war criers.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, yeah.
That's like my fucking personal lore Space Marine chapter. The war criers, they're almost completely gone.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I love playing. That is the part about Space Marines I love playing with. Mm-hmm. Is like Space Marines don't always have to be the biggest, baddest thing on the planet. No,
dude, they get wiped. Like whole chapters die.
Oh, yeah.
Uncountable chapters have been lost. I mean, Cursed Founding, where like most of the founding died.
Yeah.
The Lamenters.
Or was murdered. I mean, you know, whatever.
Or the Firehawks.
Firehawks, man. The, yeah. Or the, was it the Golden Phoenixes, who are technically the Legion of the Damned? But yeah, so they're gonna hopefully in the Crusade, like basically
unconfirmed.
Basically the more models I can get.
That's awesome.
I may be able to resurrect Lumiere, you know, at least his armor.
Hey, just go back and find that armor. Yeah, armor, exactly.
Well, that's the thing. They were able to recover because most of their fighting, they've literally been like fighting on their own ships. You know what
right.
I mean?
Oh yeah, yeah. That, so you're playing with a lot of like popped out, got into a fight, but you're also working in the like the Geller field. The Geller field on deck 5 failed. Mm-hmm. We now have to deal with the demon incursion in our own ship.
Exactly. Yeah.
Dude, that's so awesome.
Yeah. So that's why like that's how like armigers have died. You know what I mean? Is, you know, an armiger running around on a ship, you know, is more realistic than a knight, you know. But these ships that they're in, I mean, they have drop keeps. Their ships massive. Are huge.
Yeah. Like the scale of Warhammer 40K ships. Like that's one of the funny things. So two really quick funny things. First off, the scale of the Warhammer 40K ships in general were made for Space Marines and Space Marine equipment. So they are dumb massive. Oh, yeah. The second kind of weird funny thing in lore that I always find sort of amusing is people are like, well, I don't understand, like a Space Marine wouldn't fit through a door. I'm like, bitch, he wouldn't try, he'd walk through the wall.
Yeah,
like I'm sorry, drywall versus a Space Marine, why is this a conversation?
Knowing that Space Marines are a thing,
they're gonna make everything bigger.
Just make everything bigger.
But then the counter argument in lore conversations is usually like, well, what about when Marines, Space Marines are deployed to a planet that doesn't have Space Marines? I'm like, bitch, you think they use the door? Yeah. There are literally accounts on like Armageddon of like the Dark Angels like descending on a hive world and just being like, yeah, we don't really care that we drop potted onto the hive world and killed 100 million people. We got like 10 orcs, okay?
Yeah, yeah. There's whole fist fights between them and salamanders on Armageddon.
Oh my God, man.
Armageddon's a shitstorm, man. Yeah.
Armageddon is fun, and we will definitely get into it. So,
it's a whole episode on its own.
Yeah, multiple whole episodes on its own.
So I'd say the secret about where they're going, and I do want to release...
Foreshadow?
Yeah, I do want to release... like
leave us a cliffhanger.
As we talk about Crusade and stuff, because I mean, are we going to talk about Crusade stuff on?
We're going to talk about Crusade stuff at some point.
So one of the things that I'm possibly working on is like what happened to the princesses, and maybe Chaos came back,
or at least was
maybe it never left.
Ooh, yeah. So I think it's going to get very interesting. Like
suddenly orcs.
But yes. Yeah, I mean, I said like before, like ideally, like I've had to have Mark like talk me out of it. I've almost bought like. Like 8 nights, you know, like
you've had to have Mark talk you out of it.
He's got bills to pay, guys.
Because what I want is I want each one of my nights to have 2 or 3 nights with him.
Yeah, that makes sense. I like
and that's the thing. Yeah, they still have the armor. You know, they saved the armor from their dead friends. So they're kind of like, well, we can resurrect him.
You don't want every game to be like, okay, here's Beast Knight, Eric, exactly. and Arthur. I want Arthur and his knights.
Yeah.
I want Beast Knight and his, you know, Lumiere. And
exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what I want.
So it's interesting because as we're playing, we've got like kind of the armies that we play with each other that we talk about a lot. And then we've got the armies that we're kind of working on, not really necessarily like in secret, but just like our side projects. And House Crassus, my knight household, is very much not necessarily the opposite, but like the other side of the spectrum from yours. House Crassus has like maybe 16 knights total, period. It's a very small house. It's not a major house. They don't necessarily have like a way to get new knights. They just have what they have and that's it. And it works into the lore of my home systems, which we'll talk about later. But it's been cool as we've kind of been like co-developing this stuff. Like I've been developing little chunks and then you've been developing little chunks and we'll talk about it. Cause like the way that I'm building my stuff is I'm not doing it on purpose. It's just kind of interesting how you can approach lore in your army. And I'm sure the same is for, you know, Kevin and Marky as well. You can approach lore in your army with the same rule set and just completely build it differently, which is the beauty of like this type of wargaming, this type of the Warhammer 40K. Man,
this has been such an exciting thing for me because
it's been so awesome hearing about it.
my army originally was Tau and I went with Farsight Enclave, you know, so I already had, like, yeah, I mean, I've had my own fun and lore wise with that,
But that was more or less like codex compliant.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, okay, they have this, they have these abilities, cool.
I'll create my own suits.
Yeah, I'll create my own commanders and stuff. Like I have like Rock Fist, you know, like Deadeye. Yeah, Nearsight. Yeah, exactly. Nearsight, yeah.
You know? Nearsight's a good one.
Nearsight's hilarious. But yeah, so I mean I have that stuff, but this one has been like this is my freaking baby. You know what I mean? Like yeah. It's super like neat. Like story wise, cool like and also like to go into it too for people listening, like thank you for hearing me, but also playstyle wise, I feel that the way I play Knights, I don't know, maybe you guys can help because you fought me. I feel it's super different than I've seen most Knight players play.
I have only played two people with Knights. No, I've played three people. I've played three different Knight armies. The first Knight army I ever played with was very, very standard, deployed with Imperial Guard. And yeah, it's different. It's kind of think of the way that I attempt to play Eldar right now. I'm doing a bunch of stuff with my squishies, and then I've got my big guns that are trying to stay in the back and hold crap off. That's very much how that guy played. The Chaos Knight guy that I played wrecked my face. It was Beast Knight times four. It sucked so
Rampager, hard. Rampager Knights are no joke.
I think it was two Rampagers and like three or four of the, what are they, Hellglaves?
Oh, yeah, the little ones.
The little armatures.
War dogs.
It just hurt a lot.
I mean, there's a bunch of different ways to play Knights, and yeah, definitely, everybody obviously has their own unique thing, but like I know the meta obviously changes, but like, you know, I know a lot of people were running like a bunch of gallants. They were running, now it's more like you run a couple, you run some big guns and then you run a bunch of armatures or warglaives because they're so cheap. But yeah, definitely the way you play it, I don't see it very often.
Yeah. So the way that I run it predominantly in a 2000 point game is I run the Serac Prince, Baron Philip. He's the Lancer, he's my warlord. Because Serastus Knights, you have to make them warlords if you want to give them heirlooms and traits.
Gotcha. Okay.
Then I run Beast Knight, and then I'll usually try to run...
Who is a gallant?
Yes, I'm sorry. And then I'll usually try to run Eric, and if I can, I'll do a Castellan.
Who's a Paladin. Cool.
Very cool. Yeah, so I'll run Eric, who's a Paladin. And I'll run Arthur as the Castellan. Gotcha. That's what I try to fit in the points. If I can't, then I have to run Aladdin, who is a Aaron.
Gotcha. But
everybody talks about Aaron's being good, and I never have any luck with Aladdin.
Every time
I don't know Aladdin,
it's just whiff all
right.
Aladdin,
I mean, I still have to spend a whole lot of time shooting at him. So
yeah, Aladdin wrecked like four or not four wrecked two grav tanks. So that's pretty good.
And that's the only time he's done anything. Yeah, that's in like true. Five games.
That's really? True. Yeah,
it's. For some reason, every time he brings out Aladdin, he'll roll like number of shots two. Cool. I'm going to miss one of them, hit the other one, and then you'll save the one.
Can you roll like that when you play against my ex?
Right. I'll tell you what.
I'm just kidding, man.
The one, because usually what I'll do is I'll run Philip in first because he has a bigger move.
Right.
And he wrecks on his attack. Like his charge, he does like 26 damage. Yeah. He does 9 dumb. Damage for each like hit.
Theoretically, could one hit. Either another knight or a Baneblade or Lord of War super heavy tank.
That's crazy.
I did.
Rampage.
Yeah, I did.
Oh yeah, you did. Yeah.
Rip Steve.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I also I'll run Beast in behind him, and Beast is a gallant, so he usually will carry a Thunderstrike fist and his chain swords. And he has never let me down. Where Philip runs in and usually like blows up, you know, cause like that Philip usually gets targeted pretty quick cause he's scary. Beast comes in and just mops up. And like that dude, he literally Beast Knight, best knight. He's like, never let me down.
Beast Knight likes to slam tanks.
Every single time I pick up, like I kill a vehicle, I can pick it up and throw it.
It's so fucking awesome.
And then Eric is definitely like, Eric, it's funny cause the Paladin, he's my favorite looking, just on like the way the model paint came together and the trident and all that. He doesn't really excel much at anything.
He's been solid though.
He just does.
Yeah, he's just steady. Yeah. Like, I mean, I'll tell you what though, he did some like hard, like a battle cannon. When that thing like hits, it hits. Like,
oh dude, it's like when my Lehman Russ is getting a full round of shooting off. Like, oh, if I roll sixes on my D6 number of shots,
I did 10 wounds on a tyrant.
Yeah. Damn.
From one shot of that thing, you know? So,
So, did anybody have any hobby progress updates?
I am currently. Oh, yeah.
Do you have any hobby progress updates?
Yeah.
Do you happen to be working on Chaos Knights?
I do. Yeah. I have one completely built and half painted. And then I have another one completely built, customized, and in the progress of being painted.
Very cool.
And then I have the parts for another one. So, and working on Chaos Knights.
One of those, the stuff I printed for you, is that in one of them?
Yep. That's cool. What I got the parts for. I haven't got the rest of it yet, but okay. I got that.
I can't wait to see it.
That's going to be sick, yeah.
So, anybody else have hobby progress stuff going on?
I'm about to put together this super cool Steel Legion squad that Tom managed to score.
Oh, that's super happy awesome.
Birthday. Yeah, happy birthday to me. That's nice, going to be fun.
Happy birthday.
Put together a squad of boys I've never built yet.
That's right. All pewter, too.
Oh. Yeah, it's the full metal squad of Steel Legion Guardsmen.
That's awesome.
I'm sorry. I love pewter models. Everybody hates on them, but I just love them. Like, I love the weight. Yep. I love. It's like nostalgic. I do like
the weight. The weight is pretty
nostalgic
cool.
for me. But yeah, I mean, as far as hobby progress for me, I just finished putting together a Thunderhawk.
That's
looks pretty sweet.
It's huge. Yeah.
Hey, I saw pictures from Vegas that had some cornies. Were those your cornies?
No.
I was like,
this motherfucker goddamn assembled and painted his corn army already. I give up. I literally flipped.
That was all Steve.
I literally flipped three tables. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, you have to. That's how many we had.
It was our fourth table. We had three tables of above ground.
Yeah, we gotta have
and then we had a fourth table that represented the underground sewer system place beneath this fight. That way the infantry has somewhere to go.
When we get to our first, like, let's talk narrative, like lore, you guys need to recount that if there's good structure there. But anyway, you were saying, I'm sorry,
that one too hard. It just kind of, by its nature, ended up as just an epic, crazy game.
That's cool. Let's go. If you guys can like lump some narrative into it, that'd be
cool. Hercules in Apocalypse Games wrecks.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Perferon in Apocalypse wrecks.
That thing is a Yeetus Deletus for sure.
I remember my very first 8th edition game with you. No, let me rephrase this. I remember my very first 8th edition game where I got to bring my, not Riptide, what's the bigger?
Storm Surge,
where I got to bring my Storm Surge. It was with you guys.
Yeah, we had three on the table.
And that was our second, that was the second time I ever played with it.
That was ridiculous.
But the very first time, like I had just gotten my Storm Surge, I had just gotten back into country. I'd only been back into country for a couple of weeks. I brought my Storm Surge to the table. I was so ready to play. And I'm like, I'm going to get to fire this thing. It's going to be so cool. This thing is going to devastate. It's so awesome. It's going to be great. It's dead.
Oh,
first fucking turn. Oh, it's dead.
Yeah, it's a big turn.
No, that was second turn. And that was
no, I never got to fire with it. It was dead really first turn.
Yeah. I thought it was second turn because I thought I snuck my Hellhound up there and gave it a melty right in the crotch.
Oh, it was going. When we played, I think we played a Apocalypse game. We played an Apocalypse game like maybe a month or two later.
Yeah.
And that was when we had the three Storm Surges on the table. And oh my God, dope. The glorious shoot.
That was when I was like, Tiger Sharks, yeah. Yeah,
and that's when you snuck up.
No, because Melty, I hid behind the statue.
Dude, you fucking...
It was right in the... I line of sight out of your line of sight, God, so you totally forgot Chimera. It was there. You moved the Storm Surge up to get line of sight on some other stuff, and I was like, I mean, if you're just going to park 4 inches away from my Hellhound, that's cool.
Nah, it was the storm. Cool. No, you're yeah, I know what you're talking about. My ghost keel.
It was your ghost keel that was just like.
And my ghost keel should have wrecked your face, but
it should have. But you had no idea that.
Hey, let's just roll a bunch of ones.
You like to take notches in the crouch? That's cool.
Yeah. Right. So other than Thunderhawk, no hobby progress.
Oh no, I got.
You built a bunch of birds.
Yeah. I built a Fire Raptor, the Thunderhawk, and I just borrowed my brother's Storm Raven. But that was all for the APOC game. I took a flying
Space like 2,000
points
wing.
Of flying. Yeah, I took 2,000 points
crazy,
of flying.
Dude, that's so
it
awesome.
Was gnarly.
The Thunderhawk is so dope.
Yeah. So, and then I have a bunch of orcs I got to put together, and hopefully
orcs.
You got what were the fucking.
I got.
You said the name of them earlier.
Oh yeah, you got the old like orc rockers, didn't you?
Rockers.
Oh, yeah. the goth rockers. Yeah, yeah. So I got three goth rockers.
That's and awesome, I got, dude. That's a hell of a score. Some old models. What
the hell are they called? They're like the little buggy flyer dealios. I forgot.
Oh, the gyrocopters.
Yeah, scrapjets.
Scrapjets.
Oh, okay.
And, oh, you got them.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
They're like nice. The not shock jump dragster. They look more like planes.
Yeah, they're the melee shock jump dragster, pretty much.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
There's a and melee then, version of that? Then,
nice. Those are right? Awesome.
Three, like, fuck me.
Yeah, there goes my Lumen Russ. Snaz wagons.
Nice, very
that
nice.
That is got to be one of the coolest names.
A boom deck of snaz wagon.
Yeah. I want to name my car
Rucka truck squig buggies.
So awesome, man.
Orc vehicles always remind me of GLA nonsense from Command & Conquer Generals.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I got that good, baby.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I've been working on my Eldar. Those of you who follow me on TikTok and are kind of jumping into our Instagram action will definitely be a little bit familiar with my Exodites, which definitely have kind of an Egyptian theme going on. I'm really digging it. And then I have this like idea to reboot my word bearers as like a shelf army. So I'm kind of putting those guys aside and painting them real slowly but finishing painting them really slowly. Quite a bit of them are painted already. And then I bit the bullet and started stockpiling Black Legion stuff to add to my backlog.
Yep.
I did it for a specific reason, and this is something that we'll probably, you know, for on the hobby side to just touch on really quickly. Like we're talking about a lot of this lore building and a lot of this like kind of heavy lifting to come up with these conversions. And we're kind of into that level of the hobby. You know, we all kind of come up with our own stuff. We customize and all that, but there is definitely a beauty to like, I'm doing Black Legion. I know what the paint scheme is going to be, and I know what they're going to look like. I am not kit bashing anything.
I almost spent $800 on House Terran Knights.
Yeah, just to have House Terran Knights.
Yeah, just because I was like, I really want House Terran.
Yeah, like, there definitely is a point where it's like, no, like I sometimes I want to paint and sometimes I want a hobby. So yeah. But I think that closes us out for our first episode, our first supplemental episode, supplemental lore episode. We'll come up with a name.
Keep an eye out for some pictures on the Instagram. I'm sure you'll be able to see the knights coming out on there.
Yeah.
Thank you everyone for listening to me.
it's a super awesome idea. I mean, and the more you listen to it, the cooler it gets. So you guys can find us on Instagram at Jim Dark Gaming, or you can join our Facebook group, also Jim Dark Gaming. On Twitter, we are Jim Dark. If you want to hit us up with some emails and either tell us about your lore, shoot us some of your pictures, or just ask us questions about either the podcast or the crazy ideas we come up with, hit us at underthehiveofmadness@gmail.com. Or you can email us at jimdarkgaming@gmail.com. Jim Dark is spelled GYMDARK. When we say Jim Dark Gaming, it's all one word. You can, if you want to follow what we do for Friday night games, or you want to see some of the stuff that I'm painting and kind of get some glimpses of everybody else's stuff, I'm pretty good at using UHM_GoblinKing over there on the TikTok to give my own hobby progress update. For this last week's episode drop, we posted up a revolve of one of Mark's dreadnoughts, and we'll probably do some revolves of some of the knights and stuff too, so you guys can just kind of get a visual idea for what's going on. Patreon stuff in the works, and we'll try to tie you in as we move forward. But hands down, probably the best way to get a hold of us is Discord. Yep. Also, just Jim Dark Gaming. There should be a perma link in the show notes, plus links to the various social media accounts that we've mentioned.
Discord's literally the best. Yeah, like we're on it all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm on it on my phone.
Yeah, you can
home.
You can hit us up, talk to us all the time.
Right? Like while I'm in class, I probably shouldn't be, but I am.
But if anybody wants to talk on there, man, I'm always there.
Hell yeah. Yep. All right, guys. Well, that wraps it up for the episode. We are looking forward to talking to you next week.
Yeah.
Feet to sail.
What? God damn it. Get down.
Let's get out of here.
Wait. Did you say forearm number?